This week on the Shame Free Life podcast radio show, we're going to have a candid conversation, and I may respectfully and humbly say one that I believe is long overdue. We're going to have a conversation about church hurt, from the pulpit to the pew.
Today is about the power of you.
We can be whatever we dream.
You're locked into another episode of 15 Minutes of Shame. Each week, we'll help you rebuild your life one brick at a time by addressing real life issues from a practical and biblical perspective.
I had to believe in myself like never before.
This is the Shame Free Radio Show.
Finding a solution to become the greatest.
And now your host, minister, author, grief and trauma support specialist, Dr. Ronald Zion Rose.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Good morning, good evening, good night, wherever you are from coast to coast and from around the globe. You are locked inside of another installment back live in the Shame Free Life studio, and it feels absolutely amazing. This is where I belong. I hope you're doing well, Shame Free Life family, you and yours. As I alluded to earlier, we're going to talk about church hurt from the pulpit to the pew. But before we get into it, I want us to take two commercial breaks and we will be right back with the subject. Have you considered continuing your education? Or do you find yourself like so many, sidetracked by life, fear, or maybe even excuses? Well, I've come to tell you that there is absolutely no perfect time than right now. Time is ticking away. So get your degree today. Rehoboth International Bible College is an accredited university designed to meet your higher biblical education needs. Simply go to RehobothInternationalBibleCollege.com or call 866-235-0812 extension 0. You are an investment, so it is past time for you to reap the dividends. Rehoboth International Bible College. Have you ever felt alone and life is out of control? Perhaps like a sailboat at sea in the midst of a tsunami. Well, you're not alone. Here at the Shame Free Life LLC, we offer services in trauma recovery, crisis intervention, and empowerment coaching. We operate in integrity, confidentiality, empathy with coaching ethics. Contact us at theshamefreelife.com or email us at contact@theshamefreelife.com. You may not be responsible for your injury, but you are responsible for your healing. Let us help you rebuild your life one brick at a time, because your life begins when you say so. What a perfect segue, that you may not be responsible for your injury, but you and I are responsible for our own inner healing. You know, when we talk about church hurt, and I really want to set the stage, and I'm going to kind of take my time without belaboring the time. When we talk about church hurt, the first thing that we think about, we have an image of someone getting hurt, being emotionally, psychologically, or sexually abused inside of the church, or that abuse connected to someone that is in the institution of church. Now, although that is true, I want to submit to you another definition that is the hallmark of this particular podcast on this day, that church hurt is not just being hurt in church or by someone that's connected to church, but people or folk that are hurt that are in the institution of church. The hurt or the injuries that occurred before they entered into church, as a parishioner, as a layman, as a pastor, the pre-existing conditions. You know, oftentimes when we go to, you know, our physician, whether it's an annual physical or whatever the case may be, there's certain forms that we must fill complete. There's certain forms that we must revisit. Are there any pre-existing conditions in your family line, your ancestral line? Because if so, if there is a history of diabetes, if there's a history of high blood pressure, hypertension, if there are any of these pre-existing conditions, then what we need to do, we need to monitor you to make sure that you don't inherit that particular condition, because it's in your ancestral bloodline. It's there if you want it, but if you don't want it, there's certain things that you must do preventively to prevent that from occurring, taking preventive measures. So when we talk about injuries that occurred, that's linked to church, and yes, there are many. Many people have gotten hurt in church, abused in church. But on the flip side of that, many people have found themselves being abused in their home, abused in school, abused in a club. So there are many different ways that one can be abused, and there are many different venues in which abuse can take place.
God, today.
So when we talk about church hurt, we're going to introduce into the subject matter, and I wanted to really kind of fall back. I didn't want to immediately do a podcast. Not that I was listening to what other people were saying on their podcast concerning Pastor Jamelia Gooden, who is the subject matter of this particular issue. And she's not an isolated case. But I wanted to really just really fall back and just really look at things, look at this situation that occurred in a church that she pastors. I wanted to look at it from a different vantage point or various vantage points that we can arrive to some type of conclusion. You know, how many know that we know about the problem? You know, we can talk about the problem from sunset to sunrise the next day. But talking about the problem is of little effect. But coming to a solution, a conclusion of the matter, while holding ourselves accountable for that conclusion, it brings about long-lasting results. So if you're not familiar with Pastor Jamelia Gooden, she is very popular on social media. She's been pastoring for quite some time now. And there was a situation that occurred, and she took the opportunity and the liberty to talk about this situation that occurred from her pulpit on a Sunday morning in front of not just the parishioners and not just the staff of her church, but before millions. And of course, it did go viral. So let's just, if you haven't heard about this situation with Pastor Jamelia Gooden, then let me introduce it to you. And those who have, just bear with me, because we're going to build our case from here as it relates to church hurt from the pulpit to the pew. So let's hear from Pastor Gooden on what sparked this this upheaval all on social media and everywhere you go. And it's the water cooler conversation. It's the parking lot church conversation. Everybody's talking about it. But we're going to talk about not just the problem, but some solutions. So let's enter this now with Pastor Gooden.
It was a week of hell. It was hell. I never knew I could go through so much hell, Trina. It was hell. The woman from Atlanta that tried to come in between me and my husband. This woman says she's a prophetess. And she got a word from my husband. I said, no, you ain't got a word for him. You got a word for us. Natasha Davis. I told you, I'm not your typical first lady. This first lady fight. And if I catch you in the street, I warned you. I warned you. I'm a Brooklyn chick. That'll never change. I'm just an anointed Brooklyn chick. And I'm coming for that ass. This week was a week of hell.
Okay. Evidently, it was a week of hell for Pastor Jamelia Gooden. She made that abundantly clear. And she also made abundantly clear that she called out this prophetess, Natasha Davis, and she wanted to have a conversation, or she had a word, I assume from the Lord, I don't know, but she had some kind of word that she wanted to give to her husband. But you heard it. No, you want to talk to me and you want to talk to us. And she went on to talk about that she was going to whoop her ass. Now, you know, when we talk about church hurt from the pulpit to the pew, this is for real. Okay. Now, I just want to preface this, and I shouldn't even have to make a disclaimer, but I'm going to do that anyway. And later, and I just want to say to Pastor Gooden's credit, you know, she came back, and I think it was posted on a podcast that she did, you know, she apologized, or she said that she was sorry, because that's a sacred office of being a pastor. And therefore, but she's a wife first. She's a woman. She's a wife first. And so she was acting out of her position of being a wife. So she doesn't apologize for that, but she does apologize, or she's, in her words, I'm sorry, because I should not have made that place, that sacred place, meaning the pulpit, the venue to vent. Now, to her credit, she did come back and she apologized to everyone that was affected by what she said. But most of all, not just what she said, but where she said it. Now, church hurt is for real. And I think that oftentimes we kind of gloss over the fact that people come to church that were previously injured. Now, it's compounded by oftentimes more people that are injured that arrived at the church just like them, and they end up hurting other folk in the church. But the fact of the matter is, we come to a building. And so when we talk about the institution of church from the place of a brick and mortar place, but we know that it's supposed to be beyond that when we're talking about the kingdom of the Most High God, who you cannot fit into a brick and mortar building. But when we talk about the institution of church, having its mores and its norways and having various protocols that is attached to it, and a building that many will find themselves congregating in. Now, we have to understand that we have a building with a lot of history. And I'm not talking about when the building was established, when the building was constructed, but I'm talking about the history of all of these souls, wounded souls, in one place. From, as you have heard, from the pulpit to the pew. So I want us to really understand that, because I think that there's such a mythological perception, you know, that if I go to church, then this church is supposed to be perfect. The White House ain't perfect. The crack house ain't perfect. The church house ain't perfect.
God, today.
And when we begin to understand that, we would have a more rock solid perception of people though we understand that the church house should be various cuts above on a whole nother level as it relates to a crack house or a meth house or a trap house and the White House, but we're still talking about people who carry within them a history. Some of that history is good. Some of that history is bad. And so when we begin to understand that we're walking into an establishment with an array of various history, we can better understand things. And so when I begin to listen to Pastor, Jamelia Gooden, you know, I begin to just mentally take note of some things. First of all, behavioral symptoms. Symptoms that point to a behavior. It just happened to have been her pulpit. I'm talking about emotional and psychological injuries that have occurred. Psychological, the root word is psyche. Psyche, it derives from its root word etymology, which means soul. The soul. There are a lot of folks with wounded souls. There are a lot of people with injuries to the soul, to the psyche. What does a soul consist of? Our mind, our will, and of course, our emotions. So if you have been emotionally injured, that is one of the components of your soul.
God, today.
So if there is an injury, not excusing, and let me just hit this disclaimer, you know, again, I don't condone what Pastor Jamelia Gooden said from the pulpit. It was wrong, period. End of discussion. It was wrong in her eyes for her to even come back and to apologize. So her apology makes it crystal clear that she was wrong. But what I want to focus on is zero in on, not just how wrong it was, but it came from a place of being injured. I don't know anything about Pastor Jamelia Gooden. I'd never met the woman before. I don't know anything about her past. I don't know anything about her upbringing. I have no clue. But one thing I do know is that in not only her situation, but my situation and your situation, there are injuries that have occurred to our souls. If you are on this planet and you're listening to this broadcast, this podcast, regardless of how smart you are or think you are, regardless of how anointed you are or think you are, regardless of how many gifts and talents that the Most High God have given you that you use or don't use, I'm willing to bet that in your timeline of life, from the time of your birth to now, that you have been injured by something emotionally. And so when we begin to understand again that we are looking at, regardless if it's an attorney or a lawyer that injured you, a police officer, a pastor, a politician, your supervisor, your coworker, a family member, we have all been introduced to emotional pain. And the pain sometimes becomes so fierce that we begin to act out from that place of pain. The pain may have occurred when you were 7 years old, 17, 27, 37, or 47. But it doesn't discount the reality that an injury occurred, and as a result, our souls were damaged. And from that damaged place, we begin to now act out. It's, you know, it's almost like if you were to get a deep cut on your leg or arm, and even though that you have it bandaged and you have the antiseptic on it, if someone were to bump into that leg or swing a door open and that door strikes you on that arm that has a deep laceration, you're going to feel it. You know, it's an ouch moment. The door didn't cut you, but the pain that the nerve transmitted to your brain, the pain of what happened, hurt you. So you weren't injured by the door hitting you. You were injured by something happening or something that happened prior to the door striking you, reminding you of what happened to you. And such is the same identical metaphor, an example when it comes to our soul. Now, which brings me to when I was listening to Pastor Gooden, you know, it just reminded me of triggers. See, the behavioral symptoms, it stems from a trigger. What is a trigger? There are many various definitions to what emotional and psychological triggers are, but they are trauma indicators. It's an indication or it's an alarm that goes off that is linked to a specific trauma that you have encountered, a trauma that have injured you, a trauma that you were exposed to. And we have various triggers. Yours may not be mine and mine may not be yours, but triggers. We have to understand that we all have triggers. Now, we should not be ruled by our triggers, but to act as if there are no triggers. Now we're setting ourselves up to not only be unhealed, but oftentimes we will pull others into our world of upheaval. And it's very possible that we can injure them as we were injured. How many times have a person accused you of doing something that you did not do, but it looked like you did? Oh, it sounded like you did. What did I say? You didn't say anything or do anything per se, but it triggered something. There are people that are triggered just by the scent of a particular perfume or a cologne. There are people who are triggered by other people. Now, why is this person looking at me? Why is this person mean mugging me? I'm looking at me crazy. I mean, you know, it could be for various different reasons, and I'm not going to get into those many different reasons, but I will pick one out of the pile and say, perhaps you remind them of someone else, and that memory of that person is very ugly to them. That's a trigger moment. So we all have various triggers. On that particular Sunday, Pastor Gooden was triggered. She was triggered, and the symptom we heard and saw by way of her behavior, it was an ouch moment. I don't know what occurred in her life. I don't know if another woman attempted to come in between her and her ex-husband or ex-boyfriend before. I don't know if she grew up in a household where she saw, this kind of behavior taking place in her home, her mother being victimized and brutalized by some chick in the street, you know, want her husband or what? I don't know. But I do know that it points to the behavior that's rooted in a symptom. It speaks to a trigger. So with that being said, let's talk about how we can recover from past pain. Because one thing I have noticed is that, and I don't know if you heard it on the particular video that I played for you, but there were some people in the audience when she said, you know, hey, listen, Natasha Davis, when I see you in the street, it's on and popping. Now, one thing about trauma and the triggers that's rooted in the trauma, when we're triggered by the trauma, oftentimes if we don't have a good coping mechanisms and skill sets, inner resources on the inside, we will begin to not just act out, but speak out, and that can be very incriminating. So what are you saying, Zion? Pastor Gooden was so triggered that she said before millions of people, Natasha Davis, I'm calling you out. If I see you in the street, it's on. Now, that can be perceived as communicating a threat. And it was. If something were to happen to Natasha Davis, the police is going to be knocking on the door of Pastor Jamelia Gooden. She could have been on the opposite end of the country, out of the country. But just by the mere fact that you communicated a threat to someone else, and Natasha Davis happened to have had an altercation with somebody and got beat down. I'm not speaking that over her or to her, but I'm just showing you the reality of unwise thinking while being triggered from a trauma. We don't think clearly because Pastor Gooden communicated a threat. And if something were to happen to Natasha Davis, whom she named from the pulpit, again, that's probable cause for the police to knock on your door. Hey, listen, where were you at 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon? Mm-hmm. And so when we're triggered, oftentimes we lose the ability to rationally think, to think with wisdom, because we're not speaking with wisdom, because we don't have the inner resources and tools. And I'm not just, Pastor Gooden is just for the sake of the conversation, but we all have triggers. I have mine. And so it really depends on how pervasive and how horrible the trauma was that will cause us to now develop some inner skill sets and tools and resources to be able to handle the triggers when they happen. Notice I didn't say if they happen, but when they happen, and they will happen. So am I going to react to the trigger that's rooted in a trauma that I can still see in my mind's eye now that happened to me? Or am I going to respond? We can react or we can respond. React is what Jamelia have done and what I have done and what you have done. If we can check our timeline of history. Or are we going to respond? Respond in such a way to whereas, okay, I'm triggered. That reminds me of what happened to me. Now, what happened to me happened then. It's not happening now. So I'm not going to link this situation now to what happened then. So we need inner resources. So one of the things that I believe that how we can recover from pain, church hurt, from the pulpit to the pew, everybody hurt, anointed, can sing, can preach, can teach, can do all of these things, participate in all of these auxiliaries and committees and have it going on. And oh my God, did you hear that word? All of that. But at the end of the day, we have all been injured by some type of trauma.
God, today.
And so it behooves us to now gather and garner some inner resources and skill sets and tools so that the next time that it happens, we will be better prepared, that we cannot react but respond. One of the ways I believe to recover from past pain is to, first of all, and NA and AA, they've got this nailed. It's a lot of things I don't agree with NA and AA, but there's some things that I do agree with. And one of the things, admit that there is a problem. Admission. Admit that there is an injury. You know, sometimes, I mean, we try to, you know, I know what Apostle Paul was saying in the book of Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for the things which are before me. I must press toward the prize for the mark of the high calling that is in Christ, in Yeshua, the Messiah. And yes, we are to forget those things which are in our rearview mirror. If not, it will paralyze us from looking through our windshield of purpose and of the future. But at the same time, we must acknowledge that there is a rearview mirror. And if I glance, not stare, because you cannot drive and get to your destination by staring in a rearview mirror, you'll crash and burn. But to occasionally glance at the rearview mirror to see what is behind me, to see what the activity is behind me. Is there somebody that's on my bumper? It is somebody that's trailing me. It's somebody, you know, I mean, driving erratic. I need to veer off into a different lane. I need to be aware of all of my surroundings, including my rearview mirror. But when we glance in our past, it's not to stay there. It's to understand that I do have history.
God, today.
And what Apostle Paul was saying, that even though I understand that I have history, that history is not my legacy. I will not allow what happened to me rule me. I will not allow what someone or some people did to me to define who I truly am. That is my job, to define my own identity, not by what other people think, not by what other people say, not by what social media says, not by public opinion, but I define my own identity that is attached not just to my history, but my legacy. Because your history is only one chapter in your book of life. It is not the totality of your book of life. It only serves as either one page or one chapter in an entire book that you have yet to read or have yet to live. And so when we begin to understand the power of the rearview mirror, it is not to stare at the trauma. It is not to stare at the rejection. It is not to stare at the abuse. Why? Because I am driving to my destination, to my destiny, to my place of purpose, and I cannot get there by staring in the rearview of my past. If you want to remain in my past, then help yourself. If you can't get over my past, it's because you're stuck in it. But I'm behind the wheel of my own life, and I've got a date with destiny, and I've got to marry purpose. And I can't do that by staring at my past. So admitting that there is a problem in my life, there is an injury that happened to me. Yes, you can preach, you can teach, you are a wonderful CEO, You have all these gifts and these talents galore. Wonderful. I applaud you. But at the end of the day, to acknowledge that with all of these gifts and with all of these talents, there's some things about me that points to an ouch moment I'm triggered by because of trauma. Where there is no admission, if I don't admit it, then there will be no healing. Number two, identify triggers. Oh, identify the triggers. What are some of the triggers? When someone yells at you or raise their voice, what are your triggers? If someone doesn't call you at a particular time, what's your trigger? If you see, a police car, what's your trigger? When you feel that you walk into a room and people are talking about you, but they're not even thinking about you. But you see a group of people talking and it just happens to glance at you and, oh, it reminds you of something that happened to you, a trigger moment. When you're walking down the street, and a group of people are approaching you and you're clutching your purse because something happened. Not on that day, but on that day, it points to a day that something happened. It was a trauma. So to identify our triggers is so important. You know, for all you NFL fans out there, and not just myself. I'm just a football fan. You know, doesn't make any difference whether it's Pop Warner, middle school, high school, college, whatever. I mean, I just love the game in many different regards, not just because I played it, but because I love it. But that's not, but for the sake of conversation. Every team has a playbook, right? And the playbook, it when you open it and you go through your plays, there's a play for every scenario, whether it's run, whether it's pass, or whether it's a flea flicker. On the defensive side, you have your playbook, you have your various positions. Is it going to be a nickel? Is it going to be a 3-4, 4-3? So the playbook is a book of plays that you run to not just defeat your opponent, but to keep your opponent imbalanced, to knock them off the balance. They don't know which play you're going to run next. Now, what is our own individual playbook? Because oftentimes when we're in a situation, if we don't have the inner resources, then we won't know which play to run on the field of life. When a trauma happens, when we see a trauma occurring, when we are triggered by the trauma or re-triggered, the purpose of a playbook is having inner resources to be able to pull from. So when you get to the line of scrimmage of a life and you're getting ready to now run a play to now win in life, when you're triggered by something that happened to you, now you can do like some teams. Okay, let me go a different way. I see they're setting up. The defense is setting up for a pass, and we're getting ready to pass. But now, since you are the quarterback of your life or the head coach of your life, now that you get to the line of scrimmage and you're triggered by something that happened in your past, okay, you know what? How am I going to deal with this? I want to cuss somebody out. I want to act out. I want to act a fool. I want to turn this place out. Okay. I'm going to call an audible. Okay. This team thinks I'm going to go into the pass, but I'm going to run to throw them off balance so I can gain yards, so I can gain momentum in this game. We have to do the exact same thing. The inner playbook in our lives are inner tools and resources that when we're triggered by a trauma, that we won't find ourselves off kilter, but that we will throw the trigger off balance. Okay. All right. I'm triggered right now. I can see it. I'm going a different way. Okay. Listen, this has nothing to do with that. This particular situation has nothing to do with what happened to you when you were 5, when you were 15. This is a totally different situation. So I want you to gain momentum. I want you to see things differently because the trauma is better known that you being triggered at the line of scrimmage will result in you fumbling and losing in life, losing ground, losing your peace, losing your joy, losing your happiness. This is no time for a fumble, and it's no time for you to throw an interception because you're triggered. You're in this game, so play to win. Identifying our triggers. Number 3, connect with therapeutic assistance. I don't know why. If your feet hurt, we go to a podiatrist. If you have heart issues, you go to a cardiologist. If you have issues with your teeth and over-the-counter remedies cannot remedy or cure your situation, we go see a dentist. But when it comes to our own emotional health, psychological health, we refuse therapeutic assistance.
God, today.
The Bible says in 3 John 1 and 2, there's only one chapter in 3 John anyway. So 3 John 1 and 2, he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, in all things, in all things, and be in health, just as your soul prospers." See, a wounded and injured soul is not in good health standings. A wounded soul is not prospering. And so the scripture here even says that we should prosper, not just talking about your money, not just talking about your job, not just talking about your relationship, not just talking about the status symbols that you have acquired in this life, but that we should prosper in everything. In everything. Nothing should be lopsided in our lives. We should prosper in everything and be in good health, just as our soul prosper. So if you have money with an injured soul, if you have symbols of status, but you have an injured soul, if you get all these likes and comments and people all in your DM on social media, but you have a wounded soul, you are imbalanced and you're truly not prospering. It's like driving a car with only 2 tires. There is no balance when you need 4 tires. So God truly wants us that suffer from church hurt, folk that were wounded in church, by church, but most importantly, folk that were injured long before they got to church. From the pulpit to the pew, connecting with therapeutic assistance, connecting with counselors, connecting with life coaches, trauma recovery coaching, what we offer here at the shamefreelife.com, connecting with individuals that can help you customize and tailor make a game plan, a playbook that works for you. So when you encounter a trigger moment that's connected to trauma, all you have to do is pull within your inner resources. Okay, let me go to page 45 in this playbook. Okay, this is happening. So I'm going to run this play so I can win. Okay, this person said this to me. You know, this person don't know who I am. I mean, no, you don't talk to me that way. No, it reminds you of your daddy or your mama or your auntie, how they used to cuss you out. It reminds you of your boyfriend, your husband, how he used to beat you down. It reminds you of your wife, how she cheated on you. Okay, that ain't happening right now. But it reminds you of what happened then. Let me go to page 75. Okay, let me run this play so I can win. Number four, embrace self-awareness.
God today.
Embrace self-awareness. You know, we talk about being God conscious, and we should be being conscious of God, the Most High, being conscious of his spirit, just being conscious of him, because the fact of the matter is that we're nothing without him. But there's so many people that are God conscious, but they have no self-awareness. And I submit to you, it's very difficult to even serve God, the Most High Yahweh, to the ability that we can, and that he can really show up for us if we don't show up for ourselves. I know that came from the Holy Spirit, because I ain't got that in me, fam. We have got to show up for ourselves. You show up for everybody. Pastor, you show up for your congregation. You show up for your husband or your wife. You show up for family members. You show up for everybody that needs any kind of intercession. Their cat got stuck in a tree. They got a hangnail on their toe, and you're praying and interceding for everyone. You show up for everybody, but you fail to show up for yourself. You show up for everybody when it comes to, a person that's in need and you're giving to someone. You show up for everyone else but yourself. Self-awareness brings us into the reality of who we were, who we are, and who we are becoming. Self-awareness shows us the very kinks or chinks that's in our armor. It shows us the missing links that's in our lives that we are responsible for completing. Self-awareness means that I am aware of myself. And so therefore, when something is going awry, I can identify it. The self-awareness to any automobile is right there on the dashboard. Low fuel. How do you know? Because I'm looking at the mechanism there. The fuel tank is letting me know. The gauge is letting me know. It's lighting up like a Christmas tree. It's almost, the gauge is almost, the needle is almost on E. You need oil. Well, how do you know? Because the oil can just appeared. So, even when we look at things from a natural standpoint of indications that go off to alert the driver from a vehicle standpoint, you need to gas up. You need an oil change, or you need some oil. You need some transmission fluid. We have all these various gauges when it comes to a vehicle, and we will acknowledge it. We are aware of it, and we will govern ourselves accordingly, whether it's stopping at the next exit to get gas, or whether it's getting oil, changing oil, etc. Get 3,000 miles before you need oil change. How do you know that? Because it just lit up. Why is it, family, that we can be more cognizant and conscious of our vehicles, but not have the self-awareness when it comes to our own selves and showing up?
Today.
Showing up for yourself so that we can heal from the inside. And number five, rebuild, heal, and seal. Rebuilding our lives. And it's an ever going process of rebuilding. I mean, you can build a house and you've already built from the foundation all the way to the roof. Everything is in place, insulation, sheathing, framing, you name it. But every now and then there's going to be some advancements. There's going to be some expansions as it relates to what you have already built. You may want to, hey, listen, I want a sunroom, so let me build out. Hey, you know what? I want another bedroom, so let me build up. Whatever the case may be. So we have the initial construction of the build, but we constantly will upgrade or rebuild what we already have. So rebuilding your life, as it said in the commercial, rebuilding your life one brick at a time, healing. After rebuild, then heal, healing from the inside out. Self-awareness is one of those things. Self-discovery, giving yourself grace. Now, I'm not saying this, you know, we go out, we act a fool and all that. And I've done that too. Do God had to really check me? Listen, you don't own you. You are a steward. You can't just do what you want to do. You are a steward. I have found you worthy to be a steward over yourself, over your life. But to heal and to give yourself grace in the process while you are healing. Sometimes, you know, we become so accustomed to trauma and abuse and misuse and being mishandled that we do it ourselves. And baby, just because you got red bottom shoes on, just because you got a Michael Kors bag, or bro, just because you bought, you know, you just went out and bought that nice whip that you have, that foreign car or your truck or your motorcycle, or, you know, bought some new J's that you have on your feet. That doesn't mean that you value yourself. You value the things that you bought. But my question is, do you value you? Do you show up for you? Self-discovery and self-analysis and self-appreciation, just being kind to yourself and you know, and being kind to yourself is not trying to escape yourself, you know, be it through, you know, drugs and alcohol, sex, etc., etc. No, finding ourselves, embracing ourselves, holding ourselves to a higher standard, holding ourselves to a higher standard of accountability and responsibility. Why? Because every time you look in that mirror, it's our job to master it. I'm not mastering the perceptions and opinions of other people. I could care less about it. They mean zero to me. But I need to master this mirror. Am I occupying where I'm dwelling? Am I rebuilding? Am I healing? And then number three, of number five, rebuild, heal, and seal. Seal the deal. You know, when you cut yourself, what one of the first things you want to do is get some antiseptic, get some peroxide. What are you doing? You are medicating the injury, but you are sealing it from any type of dirt coming in. Seal it. You sealing it. So as we begin to rebuild, heal, and seal, we want to seal ourselves. Not isolate ourselves from people, but insulate ourselves from people. People that mean you no good. People that want to kind of reenact the trauma. And as I began to listen to Pastor Good, and there were people that were, you know, as she said, hey, listen, I'm coming for that. Hey, I'm going to whoop that ass when I see you in the street. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. That's right. Why? Why? Because trauma breeds trauma. Trauma draws trauma. Trauma it becomes emboldened by trauma. Trauma is supported by trauma. That's how some of those people can say, give us shouts of approval. Yeah, that's right. I feel you. Yeah. Why? What? I listen to what people say, but I listen to what people don't say that they also need to say. What they were saying, that's right. When they were saying, yeah, that's right, Pastor. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Notice, yeah, I've been wounded too. Yeah, this happened to me. Yeah, this happened when I was 17. This person did that. When I was 21, this happened to me. When I was 45, I never thought that this would happen to me, but it happened to me. But it won't happen no more. No, uh-uh, nah. Yeah, whoop that A, girl. Whoop that A, because I'm going to do the same. It's time for us to rebuild, heal, and seal, sealing yourself. So let's go over the recap once again, how to recover from past pain and trauma. Number one, admit that there is a problem and an injury. Number two, identify your triggers. Number three, connect with the therapeutic community. that they can walk with you down the road to self-discovery, self-awareness, self-healing. No matter how many Bible verses you quote, this is the will of the Most High concerning us. Number four, embrace self-awareness. Number five, rebuild, heal, and seal. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. It's definitely been a blessing to me. And I really believe that this serves as a teachable moment. So if you happen to be listening, Pastor Gooden, listen, we appreciate you. But what you have demonstrated is what we all go through when it comes to triggers from trauma. But the flip side of that is that there is healing that awaits us. And as I always say, and I will continue to say, and if you want one-on-one, group coaching, contact us here at theshamefreelife.com, or just email us at contact@theshamefreelife.com. You may not be responsible for your healing, but you are responsible for your own. You may not be responsible for your injury, but you are responsible, yes, for your own inner healing. We are accountable to one another. So let's have grace concerning ourselves. You drop the ball, pick up the fumble, and go get a touchdown. And like I always say, and I will continue to say, that your life begins when you say so.
Thank you for joining us on the Shame Free Life Radio Show for 15 Minutes of Shame. Follow us on IG and Twitter at Shame Free Life. For information on promoting your business with us, contact us at theshamefreelife@gmail.com. Until next time, your life begins when you say so.